Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Full Spectrum Cannabis. There it is. We've got Lance and Calandra today, and their special guest, Mitch Chargo. So go ahead, take it away, you three.
All right. Today we are with Mitch Chargo, attorney at law, esteemed cannabis attorney. Mitch, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are both of you doing?
Good.
I'm doing good. Welcome, Mitch.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, good. I didn't even know who we were talking to. I mean, I knew the name, right? But usually this role is reversed. You don't know who I'm bringing in.
Yeah.
And we've got Mitch here, and you know Mitch.
Yeah. So Mitch this is the shit. Fun. Yeah. I'm not going to explain Mitch's background. I know Mitch's background. So.
Oh, got it.
But I'll tell you what I do know. I do know that he's a big player in the cannabis industry. He's an excellent attorney, and cannabis law is what he does, and he has tons of experience in other states. So I'm going to let him kind of talk to us about who he is. So, Mitch, how long have you been practicing law?
31 years.
31
years. Wow. My son is 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So tell us, where'd you go to school?
So undergrad, I went to the University of Minnesota. I'm born and raised here, lived in Golden Valley, grew up in Golden Valley my whole life. And then I went to law school at William Mitchell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's where I graduated school, right? From. Shit, yeah. That's where I graduated from.
I've heard.
Yeah. So how long have you been practicing cannabis law?
Since 2020.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Right? Actually, for the years before I was in cannabis, I was primarily in commercial real estate, handling all kinds of commercial real estate transactions in Minnesota and around the country, whether it's representing financial institutions on commercial real estate loans, refinancing, commercial real estate leasing, representing, you know, landlords and tenants, and of course buying and selling, you know, through developers or people who are just investing. And in 2020, It's an interesting story. I lost my dad in late 2019 in a traumatic way, prompted me to start thinking about shaking some things up in my own life. Like, not that life is too short, but kind of like, you know, it's never a bad idea to try something different, try something new, shake it up a little bit, right? And I had this opportunity to go in-house as a general counsel for one of the two state registered medical cannabis manufacturers with no knowledge of cannabis as a business, right, whatsoever. And I decided to take that opportunity and dive in. And I, you know, it was fast and furious every single day in compliance, dealing with the regulators, dealing with the Office of Medical Cannabis, and stayed in that position until the company was acquired by an out-of-state MSO. And after that, I joined my current law firm, Hinshaw & Culbertson. I'm a partner there, and I'm now the chair of the firm's national cannabis practice. And so, you know, the beautiful part of having shaken things up in my life a little bit and trying something new was I kind of gained this expertise in a niche area really hard, really fast, because, as we know, cannabis is a chaotic, crazy joyride of interest, right? I mean, that is a decision I will never regret having made that change, because it thrust me into a situation to learn something new. And I think as a lawyer or in any profession that you're in, when you have the opportunity to try something new or learn something new, even at the age that I was at the time, why not?
So I love it.
Dove right in, and now I'm swimming in it every single day, just like I was back then.
So I know you have some experience in other states with cannabis.
Well, we're breaking into other states now, but I'm also licensed to practice in Arizona. Okay. And we're starting to very much explore what I think will be a very exciting opportunity in Florida. You know, we have that vote coming in Florida, and I'm an optimist. I think it's going to pass. I think the groundswell of support for adult rec in a market that's already, you know, huge medical market. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking at breaking into Florida. And of course, our office has presence in other states. as well. So we're in Massachusetts, where it's legal. We're in New York, where it's legal. And our mothership is in Chicago. Okay. So we're all over engaged in the practice of law.
I think that, like any state that is successful in getting it on the ballot, mm-hmm. I think it passes. Mm-hmm. And I don't care who wants to say anything different than that. Argue with me all you want to argue with me, because I think when you put that on the ballot, you're going to get on top of everybody trying to figure out what they want to do, right? But I think that you're going to end up getting more folks voting. And even if the only reason why they're going in to vote is for that particular measure.
Right.
And I think this should be a warning. It should be a warning to the other states that are not working on some form of legalization, because you're going to get surprised.
And I'm feeling optimistic about Florida too. I think Florida is going to go wreck fairly soon here. And I'm glad you have a presence pretty much all over. I love that your footprint is everywhere.
Yes.
So what do you like about Arizona and kind of their regulations and their dispensaries? And what are your thoughts?
Well, Arizona, what I'm learning, has a really awesome group of trade associations, and that's where I would start, right? The trade associations for dispensaries, the trade associations for the industry, which, you know, branches out beyond just the dispensaries, but into the cultivators, the manufacturers, the auxiliary services that are provided as vendors. There's a lot of support for the licensees. There's a lot of support for those vendors who want to connect to licensees because of quality, because of good relationship, good reputation. And, you know, I don't know how to explain it. I think Arizona just tends to be a little bit more streamlined. And they've had that rough patch that I think every state goes through when you legalize and you introduce adult rec, where you kind of had that tumultuous period where now it's kind of stabilizing a little bit. I have heard, you know, that, you know, licensee or license value may be dipping a little bit because there was over surplus or an overabundance of licensees, but I think that's true in any market. And I think it's one of the things that the Office of Cannabis Management here is trying to avoid, although sometimes I think they're outthinking the thinkers and trying to overthink and think it, instead of just letting the market take over and do what it's going to do. What I love about the opportunity in Arizona is the population size. I love that, you know, it's a huge, broad-based population, and I don't care what anybody says about politics, right? There are plenty of Republican, whether they're closet Republicans or closet or not closet Republicans with regard to cannabis, plenty of you know, people in the red part of the political spectrum that like cannabis, mm-hmm. right? And whether they're feeling, you know, a little bit weird about coming out and supporting it or not. And Arizona is one of those purple states, right? So it's a state that's got a broad-based population. There's money to spend in that state. And it's an enormous geographical layout. So you have opportunity for all kinds of different landscapes within which to introduce and launch your cannabis business, whether you're coming in as an established business owner or you're starting up as a mom and pop shop. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Arizona. We're actually going to a jazz fest there in October.
Where?
It's going to be in Phoenix, specifically in the Glendale area.
Yeah, that's great.
Like a Glendale complex. But it's a 3-day jazz festival, and we've already got our tickets. It's going to be huge. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of 40, 50, 60, 70-year-old smokers.
Okay.
While they're listening to smooth jazz music.
Just chilling out, sitting outside.
And, you know, it's not one of those things where you bring your lawn chair, you stand around. You know, at our age, we need an assigned seat. So.
Oh, agreed.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I'm not going.
Is it appropriate to put in a plug for a dispensary there?
No, like I think it is.
Yeah. Serious. I mean,
why not? We want to know the good spots.
I mean, I'll tell you what. I went into a dispensary there called Sunday Goods. Right.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, that is my favorite dispensary.
I love it. They were like,
I love it.
Their bud tenders there were spot on.
Yes.
Their display was spot on. I thought the whole delivery was just an incredibly wonderful experience. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I have family in Arizona. I have family in Phoenix, right? So whenever I get a chance to go and just stop in dispensaries, I'm always trying to find new dispensaries just to see how people brand, how they want to tell their story, because a dispensary to me, just like a cultivation facility, it's telling a story. It's letting the creators of the product or the purveyors of the product shout out to the world. This is my narrative. This is this is what I love about this industry and these products. And I felt like Sunday Goods was just this great expression of, like, yeah, you know, you're not walking into a large Costco oriented kind of dispensary where it's like, you know, pre-roll aisle 9, right?
Right.
Right. It's like, yeah, it's more like you're walking in there and these people were friendly. They knew everything about everything and just the layout of everything, all the way down to the little Ziploc pouch when you walked out. I was like, this is great. I'm coming back here every time.
Yeah.
I could
tell you, Sunday Goods is my favorite. And at my dispensary at the Goods Inn, we do have the cool Ziploc bag.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you pick it up from them?
I might have.
Yeah.
I'm not even coming on and say it, but
Vegas.
They do it in Vegas too. But their Ziploc bags, you could even buy some cloth ones. They're like blue and they got kind of this starlight of look. And
I want a corduroy
really
bag.
Cool.
That's what I want.
So let me tell you about Sunday Goods. I'm sure this is your experience too. And I don't know if you know, they just opened a location in the airport.
No.
Yeah. So they have one larger building, which is just absolutely beautiful. But you go in and you can get coffee right there. Then you can get your coffee and you kind of walk around. That's kind of the larger one. But there's a smaller one right near Biltmore, kind of the Arizona Biltmore area. And like you just kind of pull in and, you know, it's really small and quaint. But the people are really, really nice. But that's pretty much the only one that I go to. Mm. They have some great sales. You go to their website. They always have really good specials. Mm-hmm. Last time I was there in April, they had cartridges for $10.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Scares the shit out of me.
Not me.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's okay, too. But I'm not buying $6 gummies. You know what I'm saying? I'm not buying $3 ones.
They have one.
Did you say by the strip joint?
By the strip
joint. How the hell you knows by the strip joint? That's how you remember.
The driver. Usually it's the color of the lights of the building. That's usually what tells you it's a strip joint.
I don't want to know how you know either, Lance.
The lights.
My wife is watching this. I'm sorry. I didn't go into the strip joint. But I know that the driver. We have our audience laughing, too. I don't wonder if we're talking about the same one. The one that I went to is off of, was a little bit North Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And it was a smaller one. Parking was kind of a challenge. But
yes. We're talking about the same one.
That one was my favorite.
Yeah. Right?
So.
Yeah.
But
I kind of got to like pull in on the curve right there. Yeah.
Right.
And it is by the strip club. I was just fucking with you.
Well, the other one was by the strip club, right? I was down in that part of town, and the driver pulled in. I'm like, yeah, this isn't a dispensary. It's like, he says, oh, it's over there. It's right next to it, right? Yeah.
Got it.
So that's how I remembered the
Yeah, because there's like a little gas station right there, too. I know what you're talking about.
So for those that are there.
I've been to mini dispensaries.
And then for those that are going to go there, now you know.
Yeah. Now you know.
This is beautiful. Okay, so Arizona, now what state are we going to fly to?
Right. You know, I think we should go to Boston. There's another lawyer there who opened a dispensary in Boston, and I think we can get some really good lobster rolls and interview him. So
I think it's a fantastic idea. We're just about, we're coming into sponsorship dollars like Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday, is it Sunday Goods?
Sunday Goods.
Okay, so Sunday Goods doesn't know it yet, but they got a pitch coming their way. Right? Like we start bringing some stuff up and producers. Sam's going to be like, maybe they want to talk about some things. Or just, you know, support us because we're talking about them.
Yeah. I agree. So Mitch, so you currently accept clients, right?
Yes.
So tell us kind of what clients your firm accepts and, you know, how do folks get to you? So tell
us. Okay. Well, thank you for asking. So, you know, we are a full service law firm. It's a, you know, AmLaw, I think AmLaw 200 firm. We have over 520 lawyers, I think, not more, across the country. And our office here in Minneapolis is also multifaceted, right? So we have litigators and we have a corporate group. And I'm part of the corporate group and the cannabis group. So we're working with clients that, whether they're already established in Minnesota, that's the low-potency hemp-derived manufacturers and retailers. And we're working with licensees. So I helped, you know, several social equity applicants trying to obtain their license pre-approval for the early first mover process that's going on right now. And obviously, we're looking to work with established cannabis businesses and do work with established cannabis businesses in other markets. So we're looking for I want to work with clients that are passionate about their business, but have a real business belief and bend to how they want to project their narrative and brand out into the world. Because, you know, I think what I love about the industry is the passion, right? The passion that you had when I met you about right. your product, your business, the passion that you have about your business. Everybody in the cannabis world that I have met has that. Everybody has a different flair about it, but it's this passion. I don't know how to describe it. This excitement and enthusiasm for what they are creating. And mm-hmm. I want to be a part of that. That's what I tell every client is I just want to be a part and add value to your vision and your narrative. And we can do that on a number of fronts, from the corporate side to the real estate side to the compliance side, risk management, all of that. Those are areas in which I've had extensive experience, in particular in the cannabis industry. And I want to share that with other people and watch them soar. That's really the big piece for me. I think earlier you asked me why cannabis or what do you love about cannabis? And it's that energy. It right now, it's a lot of curious energy. I think we're all kind of curious about how is this going to roll out in the state, because there's a lot of uncertainty, which, you know, makes it exciting and nerve-wracking all at the same time. And I'm watching people try to get into this market with, you know, fear that they're not going to be able to participate in the market. Mm-hmm. And that's the one part about this that is unsettling to me, because I believe everybody who has this dream should be able to act on it. I mean, this is America, right? Yeah. So you want to have this dream, you should be able to exercise it and achieve it. And I'm not sure how that's going to play out yet in Minnesota, but I hope it does. And I want to be a part of it and be the, you know, the lawyer on the side that just helps people get to where they want to go, or help businesses get to where mm-hmm. they want to go. And the beautiful thing about being part of a large firm is I'll be the first one to tell you, you know, I know what I know, right? Mm-hmm. And I know the areas of law that I know really well, but I am supported by partners and practitioners who also have expertise in areas that are going to be very beneficial to our clients. And I have confidence and trust in them to be able to deliver high quality legal services to clients that bolster and support what I do, which makes it a whole package and really beneficial for clients.
I love it.
What did you say about him when you're like, so this is Mitch and he's like he is the cannabis guy.
Yeah.
Kind of thing is what he's, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was he's the right? cannabis kind of guy. Sounds like it.
I'm always right.
Right. Yeah. Sure. As long, I mean, unless somebody's telling
me. I don't want to argue with her.
You know, I know. I've been working on the argument, right? I'm building my case. I've been building my case for 4 months.
We'll good luck, Lance. Good luck.
Yeah.
So, Mitch, how can folks get in contact with you?
They can certainly email me. I'm at the law firm of Henshaw and Culbertson here in Minneapolis. And my email address is mchargo@hinshaw.com. And look, we can, you know, they can call. Like, some of the areas that I'm super excited about working with clients will be helping them develop their business plans, their security plans, their, you know, environmental plans, all of these things in Minnesota, which we can see from the foreshadowing of the application process that are going to be key requirements to get into this business. So, you know, the SOP writing and being a real element and fundamental part of helping them create their operative documents from the ground up. Happy to work with people in that regard. We've got the ability to help people with getting their organizations formed if they're not already, or keeping up with the corporate formalities, which is, as you know, extremely important to keep that corporate shell going. So reach me there and email me. I am very quick to respond.
Excellent.
And happy to.
Great. So when you're not doing awesome lawyer stuff, what do you like to do?
Well, if I can, I think the one word I learned from watching my wife watch The Bachelorette, the word vulnerable. If I could be vulnerable for a moment here and just say something that's probably going to be
safe
strange.
Space.
Right. It's a safe. Are we in a safe?
It is a safe. You space. Already told us you know where the strip
until,
club
until
is
you
in Arizona. It's definitely safe.
You're
here.
Good, man.
We're all family.
You're great. You're great.
So I play in a band. And that headlines around town here. We headline at Bunkers usually every 6 weeks,
Sweet.
7 weeks.
What?
It's a rock and roll cover band. Oh yeah, it's a large band, nine-piece band, and we do rock and roll, and country and blues and R&B dance covers, and it's a ton of fun. We just headlined out at the concert in the Commons in Excelsior back on July 10th. We headlined at James J. Hill Days, and we played up at Moondance up in Walker.
Sweet.
Got to play with Lynyrd Skynyrd and some
cool.
really
what?
Fun bands. And so, yeah.
What's the name of the band?
What's that?
What's the name of the band?
Stereo Kitchen.
Oh.
Stereo Kitchen.
Stereo Kitchen.
Have you heard them, Sam?
Yeah, I know a member. I do. I'm drawing a blank on the name right now.
Which part of the band do they?
Female.
Carrie or Betsy?
Betsy. Betsy Weiner.
Betsy Weiner.
Weiner. Yeah, Betsy Weiner. Yeah.
She's a fantastic singer.
Oh, that's awesome.
So is Carrie, the other singer in the band, Carrie Chaplin. So.
Wow.
And you know, we've got a drummer who plays with a band called Mango Jam. And,
I've heard of Mango Jam.
And we've got thundering guitarists. And, you know, I'm super blessed to be in this group because I'm not musically trained whatsoever. So.
Oh, you're a lawyer. You've got to have that outlet.
Yeah.
To jam?
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That jam session, it does something for
super
people.
Super important.
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever we go to concerts, my husband, he does the, you know, like he's
the air drums.
In the band.
Oh, he's
yeah.
the air drums
Yeah. Like
guy?
In his mind, he's a part of the band. And I like have to tell him like, stop doing that because it's so distracting.
Yeah.
But he like really gets into it. And you know, his shower voice comes out. You know the shower
the
voice, right?
Voice?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and I'm like, uh-uh.
At least it's the drums, right? Because I'm a horns guy, and that looks really fucking weird.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listen, if there was an air guitar competition, I think I would enter it. I think I would pit myself against anybody with the air guitar, because I don't play an instrument. I'm the singer in the band.
And, sweet.
And I'm... So I air guitar up on the stage all the time. In fact, I use my microphone stand as the prop, and I'm running around pretending I can play
that's
bass.
That's what it's for.
I absolutely love it.
Running up the bass with my fingers and then, you know, doing all this stuff when I'm rocking out. It's a great release. It's a tremendous amount of fun, and it's a creative side. Even though we're doing cover tunes, we always try to mix it up a little bit, change it, you know, songs up a little bit. And the one thing about music, much like cannabis, it tends to bring joy to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a uniter of people. And I don't care who people are in challenging times and different political spectrums, different business spectrums, different friendship spectrums, music just tends to bring people together. And of course, if they're going to be passing the Dutchie while they're playing the music, that brings people together too.
Yep.
So everybody seems to be having a good time. And I like to help people have fun.
I love it. I love it.
It's time for a break.
It's time for a break.
Well, I mean, it's time for an end.
And into this half. Yep.
Into this half, yes.
Yeah.
And then we have another guest joining us today.
Yeah, today on Three Lawyers and a Lance.
Lucky you. But there's no bill, so you should be fine.
I know. Exactly. This is lovely.
How often do you get to talk to three lawyers and you don't have to write a check?
I know. Well, the fun thing is there was zero advice for me, so they didn't. I mean, there's nothing billable there. All right. This was fun.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
I really appreciate and wish all the success for this awesome forum. It's great.
Thanks,
all right.
Mitch.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thanks, Mitch.
Thank you. Thanks.